I want to begin by thanking the sponsors of this year, David Kay, Yehud Nishmas, grandfather Yitzhak Nelson, and Laser, the Yard Savis yesterday, and Samadaya, and Nisham Shahab and Uliyah, Yehud Nishmas, the Hirschman, and Adam David, and Nisham Shahab Uliyah, and Simcha Nachas and Adam. I'm going to try to press around 3 hours into the next 50 minutes or so. Last week, we had the schuz before Yontif, before Rosh Hashanah, to speak about an hour Madrega, the Aliyah on Rosh Hashanah to the world of Arach Anpin. We spoke about that part of Arach Anpin, what that means a little bit again, an hour Madrega, Chadesh Yomenech Kedem, Shonim Kadmonies, and how all of Rosh Hashanah, the davening, and the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah is revolving around that Aliyah. And tonight we're going to talk about the partsufim of Abba and Ima, and how Abba and Ima, also known as Chochma and Bina, how they ascend to the Madrega of Arach Anpin. I'm saying some scary words at the beginning, but the rest is not going to be like that. But just for those who are a little bit familiar with these terms, and how all of that can be understood, or helps us to understand, what is it about Kol Nidre that's so... it's so remarkable. What is it? What is Kol Nidre? What's Kol Nidre? So I'm going to begin with a remarkable maimer that's found in the Tikkuni Zohar, translated from Aramaic into Hebrew. I'm going to read it in Lashon HaKodesh. This is printed in many of the Machzorim before Kol Nidre. Many of the Machzorim, I don't know in the English ones, but it's printed in many of the old Machzorim. To say before Kol Nidre. So again, in the translation of the Lashon HaKodesh, just listen. Kom Rabbi Shimon Araglav. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai stood up. Herim Yodav Klape Maila. He lifted his hands up. V'shovach Rabban Shalom. He praised Hashem and he said, V'boin har lomim. Asay laman hashchina shehi begolos. Do it for the sake of the Shechina. That's in Golas. That's in exile. Shiva Golas. Vim hi b'shvua. And if there is an oath that the Shechina is sworn to remain in Golas because of some shvua, of an oath. Vim hi b'shvua. Hari Abba v'ima shem chochma v'bina. That's good. Abba and Ima, which is chochma and bina, the pratsufim of chochma and bina. If there was an oath, if Golas, if the Shechina is stuck in Golas because of an oath that was taken, that's okay, Rabbi Shimon says, because Abba and Ima can release the Shechina from that oath. Zeshakosev, this is what is alluded to in the Navi Yishai in Perek Yudal, Hashem Tzevokos Yatz, Hashem has planned, umi yofer, and who can annul Hashem's plan? Now the key word here is me. Some of you, I'm sure, know that mem yud is a code for what mida, which sphere, bina, right? So the chamishim shar bina, mem yud. So the pasuk says Hashem tzevokos yods umi yofer, which Hashem has Hashem. When Hashem says something, who can annul it? But Rabbi Shimon continues and says, "In a Talmud Nishba, still we see in Halacha that if there's a shvua that takes place, or a neder that takes place, Harav Yochel Lasas Hatar, if the student takes an oath." The Rav, a Chacham, can be Matir, another. Vim hu nodar mitzad Abba v'ima v'yevsha. But if this nether is very, very strong, and the nether of Golas is on the level of Abba and Ima, v'yevsha. So Rishim Maichai then says, an astonishing thing, Ani ale elza. Shanema boy, I will myself ascend, I will go up to the place that it says in the Torah, ki yipolim imcha davar, if something is wondrous and beyond you, ki yipolim imcha davar, Shnemar, the Gemara says in Chagiga, b'muflam imcha al tidrash. Don't seek to understand that which is beyond you. Sheyifta ha-neder, and that madrega can remove the neder. That's what Rishon LeChai says. Our job of the next 45-50 minutes or so is to try to, on our level, to understand what is this. This is the Hakdama to Kol Nidre. Meaning this tiny little paragraph has in it the sod of Kol Nidre. I already mentioned that we see a remez to the Madrega of Mem Yud, which is Bina. Rabbi Shimon says Abba and Ima, which is Chachma, is Abba, Ima is Bina. And then he speaks about, I will go to a place regarding which it says, B'muflumcha al tidrosh. Pele is a code word for the Madrega of Keser, the crown, of the highest Madrega. That's called Pele Elyon. B'muflumcha. And we'll see what he means by quoting the pasuk al tidrosh. You also know that the parish of the Dorim is a parish of Ki Yipolimumcha Dorim. And we're going to see how all of this emission comes together and our love to try to understand. The Pashtus, what Rabbi Shimon is talking about, is that he's crying out to Hashem, he's davening, that we should be finally finished with Golus, and we should be able to return to Yerushalayim, to experience Gula. Now, there's no question that this tefillah, this tchina of Rabbi Shimon is a reaction to the remarkable story that's told in the Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Ayin Dalet. Among the mysterious stories of Rabbi Barbar Chana. Again, I'm reading to you straight in the translation instead of going in the Aramaic. The Gemara there tells us, Amli Yoisa Soich Yishmael, Rabbi Barbar Chana says that he met a Yishmaeli, a Soicher, some merchant, a Yishmaeli. And this Yishmaeli said to Rabbi Barbar Chana, come, I'm going to show you Har Sinai. So Rabbi Barbar Chana says, I went with him. And he said he saw an akrav, a scorpion, it's not important right now to go to the images that he saw. He saw some very strange things there. But the main thing is as follows. Shamati baskol. I heard a baskol at Har Sinai. And the baskol said the following. A voice came down from Shemaim and said, Oili shenishbati. That Hashem kivyoch said, Gevalt, Gevalt. I took an oath. Oili shenishbati. V'achshe shenishbati. And now that I have sworn, Golus, now that I have sworn, mi meifili. Who can annul my vow? That's what Rabbi Barbar Chana heard. What was Rabbi Barbar Chana's response to that? Hashem said, "Me meifili." The answer is absolutely nothing. He did not say a word. The Gemara tells us there afterwards. Shabbos lifnei chachamim. Rabbi Barbar Chana said that when I came before the chachamim, I came to the Medrash and I told them the ma'aseh that happened. I remember this Ishmaeli, Tai Sinai, I heard a bas call. And I told them what happened. And they told Rabbi Barbar Chana, he himself reported this, Rabbi Chama, and Barbar Chana, the Tipish, they told him that you were a fool. You made a huge mistake. You had a once in a, not just in a lifetime, once in a history, an opportunity. And Hailu Chalayma, Mufalach, Mufalach, Mufalach. You should have said, when Hashem said me meifili, who can annul this vow? You're supposed to be a chacham. A chacham has the authority to annul a vow. You should have said mufalach. So this is beyond shocking. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's tefillah, Maimer that we began with is clearly and is understood by everybody to be a reaction to this episode of Baba Baba Kham. Tov. Let's first try to understand in halacha the chilik between hafaris haneder and hataris haneder. That'll make it very much easier for us. Let's try to understand the difference between these two. When the husband, this is Parshas Matos, that when the husband is mefer, when he annuls, I guess the English translation, I think it's annul, when the husband is mefer the neder of his wife, so in the situation of hafara, the Gemara defines hafara as megas gaiz. Megas gaiz, again, if you learned, that's in the Dharma, the fine ches, it's many places in Shas. And megas gaiz means that when the husband annuls the neder of the wife, megas gaiz means that he cuts it. He is able to deactivate. The Torah gave him the authority to deactivate, to unplug the neder that his wife made, which means that whatever she had sworn, whatever oath she had taken, it is no longer in effect. Hadkan. It's no longer in effect. It's done. That's called hafara. Megas gaiz. Cutting it. Stopping it. Hatara is when somebody goes to the chacham. I'm not talking here about husband and wife. When someone goes to the chacham, to be matir. I guess in English, to release. I think that's how it's translated. When someone goes to the chacham to be matir the neder, that the Gemara defines as an act of mi'akir akir, which means that the neder is uprooted from its shurish. It's uprooted. It's not cut down. It's uprooted. This is how the Rosh explains and the Rishonim will explain it. Mazir in other places. What is the nafkimina? What does that mean? Cutting or uprooting? Megas gai is a makarak. What's the difference? What does that mean? So nafkimina halacha. Let's say we have two women. Sara makes a nether. And whatever that might be, Sara makes a nether. And Rivka hears this and she says, V'ani. She's makpis the nether. That's how it's called. And she says, V'ani. I also. Me too. Me too. Then afterwards, Sarah's husband, the first woman, Sarah's husband is made for the nether of his wife. He annuls his wife's nether. That doesn't change the status of the second woman, of Rivka. That nether of the second woman still exists. For the first woman, for his wife, he was able to be made for the nether, mikan lahav. But it doesn't change the reality that took place. That yesterday, the friend said, ani, me too. However, in the same situation, if we're talking about her going to a chacham to be matir the nether, then the chacham, when he's matir the nether, he's oikir at lemafreya. That means that it never happened. And if it never happened, then lady number two, Rivka, had nothing to be matpis her nether onto, had nothing to connect to. It never happened. It sounded like it, looked like it. But Lamaisa, there was not Kara, there was a hot Torah. And so it's finished, it's done. Another Nafkimina. There are many, many Nafkiminas. Another Nafkimina would be in a situation where, let's say, that a woman makes a nether and she is a veris and bal yachel. In other words, she did not live up to her nether and the allotted time passed. So then she gets makis. I mean, she's chayv makis, chayv is makis because she was over the nether. So in this situation, if the husband afterwards nullifies the nether, it doesn't exempt her from makis. The nether took place. It's fafal. It doesn't exempt her from makis. However, if she goes to a chacham, and the chacham is mata the neder, then it turns out that l'mafreya, there was never any neder to begin with, and therefore she's potter from malchus. She doesn't get malchus. So there are many other nafkiminis regarding this advantage or the strength of the authority of hataras and neder vis-a-vis hafaras and neder. Aleph, Beis. Our custom of Kol Nidre, that was mespashet across all of the different sectors of Am Yisrael, to come into Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre, the Pashtids, it's a mice of Hataras Nadarim, some sort of annulment of vows, of the vows of the year, past and the Kadal Haba, and the way that it's understood is that the nedarim of our lives are sort of are symbolic of our aveiros, that we've committed ourselves to inappropriate things. Not just that we've said inappropriate things, but we have habituated and become accustomed to doing things that we shouldn't be doing. And we begin Yom Kippur with a bezden, a das, a mokum, a das, a kal, a whole big thing. And we have this kol nidre. Rabbi Yosheber, my Rebbe of Soloveitchik, explains this very, very beautifully in Na'al HaTshuva, how this works, and how this is all a symbol of our desire to do tshuva, and come into Yom Kippur, and the state of Lefnei Hashem, the Tower, being pure from all of our mishagasim from the past year, to be released from our commitments that are unholy. That's the pashtus of a kol nidre. The chiddush of what Rabbi Shimon says, that we began with him, the maimer of Rabbi Shimon, is that not only are we matter than our nadarim, the nadarim of people, of human beings, of Jews, but we have the azus, the chutzpah, that was somehow annulling or uprooting the shvua, the oath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the shvua of Golus, regarding which it says in Shir Hashirim, Hishbati Eschem Benoiz Yishlai, Im Ta'iru Sa'av HaShetapas. We can't force Mashiach to come. We can't force the end of Golus because of this shvua. And that's what the pasuk that the Rabbi Shimon himself brought from the Navi. Kashem Tzavakas Yaretz Miyafir. That Hashem took an oath. Who's able to annul Hashem's oath? So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai essentially says, I am. I'm able to. Not just Rabbi Shimon. We'll see. But it can be annulled. And that's our avoided, to annul Hashem's oath. Not just to have this symbolic release or annulment of our mistakes during the year, of our mishagasa, but kivyachol, to go to such a place where we are able to annul and release Hashem kivyachol from this shvur of Ishbati Eschem Benayis Yishlaim in Ta'irum Ta'iru Sahava Chita, the shvur of Golus, the shvur of Golus. How could that be? So what you have, the page that you have in front of you, there's Hebrew and there's English. Since we don't have time, I'm going to go straight to the English. And anyway, the Hebrew is almost impossible to understand. So we have the translation that was done by Yaakov David Shulman in Eretz HaTshuva. This is Rav Kook's Eretz HaTshuva, Perek Yud Aleph, Seif Aleph, the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. I'm only going to read it. We'll read it now together. Every word here is beyond me'evil, le'ela. And then we'll try to, I know there's a term they use now, we'll try to unpack it. I've heard that a few times. We'll try to unpack this, an hour medrage, to unpack this paragraph from Rav Kook and Arizachim. But listen to what he says. I mean, look inside. This is the whole Yom Kippur, this is the whole Kol Nidre. There is a tshuva that comes from the aspect of Bina. Mitzad ha-Bina ha-tshuva ba. there's tshuva that comes from the aspect of bina. So elevated is that tshuva that it ultimately transforms intentional sins into merits from which a person gains life. Now you all know that there's a madrega of tshuva mehava, where the Gemara tells us in Yoma that zidanis naslak is obvious, that it's possible to change our avarice into mitzvahs. It's a very high level of tshuva. So Rav Kook says that this tshuva that comes from bina can ultimately lead to, it's not the highest level of tshuva, but this tshuva, which begins with bina, can ultimately lead to this transformation of intentional sins into merits, from which a person gains life, new life. It is true that this tshuva, whatever manner and form it may take, suffers at the outset from a weakness. Sovelos betchilosa michalishus. At the beginning of this process of tshuva, because we're talking about ascending, you'll pay attention carefully. We're ascending from bina, which is ima, to give birth to a higher level of tshuva that's called chachma, abba, and then from there to jettison into a world that's called pella, keser, the crown. And in that world of keser, all opposites can come together. An aveira can be a mitzvah. Things that can't happen in nature in this world happen over there. That's what we're talking about by Arachan. Something different. It's beyond. It's me'er. So he writes like this. It is true that this tshuva, whatever manner and form may take, surface at the outset from a weakness that is the result of a person's earlier remorse. This tshuva at the beginning that comes from bina, at the beginning the person is filled with charata, with a regret and remorse, which causes a certain weakening of a person's spirit, even depression, the regret and remorse he has over the mistakes that he's made, over his avers. But afterwards it is turned into joy and an expansive consciousness of supernal perception of the transformation of intentional sins into merits, which it can lead to ultimately. Beyond that comes, that's chachma, beyond that comes tshuva from the light of, so beyond bina comes tshuva from the light of chachma, which never needed to be weakened by the ache of regret. Once you come to the madrega of chachma, I'll explain that in a minute, once the tshuva ascends to a higher level of chachma, there's no longer the misery of regret and being heartbroken and crying and beating oneself up. It finds the merits resulting from intentional sins already shining like the day at high noon. Gladness of Hashem appears within that light in its radiant joyfulness, without any oppression of shame and darkness. There's no longer a feeling of shame and darkness. This is because everything has already been cleansed from the outset by means of the manifestation of soulful bina. It began with bina, and now it's ascended to a level of chachma. Higher than chachma is the appearance of the light of universal keser. Hofa'as or ha-keser ha-kloli. The appearance of the light of universal keser, the secret gaze, Hashem's secret way of looking at everything, that produces all delight and pleasure. Delight, onig, pleasure, that's keser, that's all from the level of keser, of crown. All holiness and goodness, which incorporates everything to its holy treasury, even our sins. This light makes no use whatsoever of the preparatory stage of regret. Once we're talking about keser, there's no any bechlal of shame, regret, embarrassment that characterizes the beginning of the illumination of bina. In its light, the fact that there is no deficiency and darkness at all is revealed. There's no deficiency. Nothing is missing. Everything is the way it's supposed to be. There's nothing wrong. Everything is just perfect. Everything is just the way it's supposed to be. There is nothing here but a holy light and supernal beauty, a glow of life and elevated illumination that is higher than bina, which annuls sins, which is mefir, annuls sins, like an eder. Ki Hashem Tzvokos yatz umi yafir, because Hashem Tzvokos has ordained, and who? As we said earlier, me, Mem Yud, is the 50 gates of Bina, annulment of the vow. And who will annul? That illumination is also higher than Chachma. Keser is higher than Chachma, which releases the influence of sins. Now, Chachma is already Madrega of Hatara. Like we learned, Hatara is higher than Hathara, you remember? Hatara is higher than Hathara. That's when you go to the Chachma. And the Chachma is Mata, the Chachma is Mata, the Nether, Mikar. Kesser is still higher than that. Rather, in Kesser, all good flows without any impediment. And all evil and ugliness is missing from its essence from the very outset. For in truth, there never was, is not, and never will be anything besides the light of Hashem and His goodness. Okay, let's try an hour madrega just to talk about this for a few minutes. Hope that you're still holding here. Rav Kook is explaining the aliyah, the ascent from a lower level of tshuva to a higher level of tshuva. Now we're familiar with tshuva meira, tshuva meahava. Here we're talking in terms of a tshuva that comes from bina, which is ima, the mother, and ascends to a higher level of chachma, abba, ultimately to the unknowable crown, keser, atlali. So the beginning of tshuva, let's just talk very simply. The beginning of tshuva is bina. And bina, the Gemara brings the pasuk in Navi, in Yeshaya, that the beginning of tshuva requires hisbonenus. Bina, the most basic level, means thinking about your life, making a cheshbon nefesh. Bina means paying attention. Lehisbonein. Bina means lehisbonein. Bina. And it brings the pasuk in Navi, ulavavo yovin vishav virafa lo. The beginning of tshuva is an understanding heart, a heart that is thinking, that is analyzing. It means analyzing one's life. In this shlav of bina, a person is confronted with the ugliness of his life, with the ugliness of his aveiros, and as a result of that, his bonenus is able to give birth, like the mother, this is called ima, is able to give birth to something different, is able to bring about the beginning of transformation. The mother is the source of life. This person has been lost in his averus, not thinking, just going along in that world of evil. And finally, the mother has arrived. The mother, meaning he's using this kach of ulavava yavin of bina, and the mother is able to give birth. In this shlava of bina, the mother is able to give birth to a determination to change. I want to change. I want to be somebody else. I don't want to continue this way. As a result of this, the person naturally is filled with charat. Now, there's all the ingredients in conventional tshuva, in Hilchos Tshuva of the Rambam, and Shari Tshuva of Ein Yoina. So this person is filled with charata, with regret and remorse for the. He sees the darkness of his life. He's thinking, he's analyzing the darkness of his life, and as a result of that, he's filled with remorse, and the remorse brings him to a place of Kabbalah Lahaba. I want to cut myself off my earlier life. Megas Gaius. I want to annul that ugliness from my life. I want to remove it from my life. And therefore, there's a Kabbalah Mikanu Lahaba, that from now on, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to live that way anymore. Therefore, Bina, Rav Kook is telling us, is called really Hafaras Haneder. Hafaras Haneder means, as we learned, Mikanu Lahaba. And conventional tshuva is exactly that. I can't stop thinking about the terrible things I've done. I'm filled with charata. It makes me sick to think about what I've done. I'm disgusted with myself. And I'm going to try to commit myself, Mikanu Lahaba. I'm going to try to cut myself off from my past behavior. And I'm going to admit, vidu, of course, my mistakes. And Mikanu Lahaba. And I want from now on, I'm committing myself to a different kind of a life, to a new type of a life. And this is Bina. This is the mother giving birth to a transformed person, to somebody new and somebody that's different. That's what Rav Kook is referring to when he speaks how in the stage of Bina, there is a chalishus harotzen shel charata. There is a certain weakness. It suffers at the outset from a weakness that is the result of earlier remorse. A person who's feeling horrible about himself, who's feeling a certain self-loathing, that weakens him. He's in a place of weakness. That's not how we are supposed to be living ideally. We're supposed to be confident and strong people. This person is very far from being confident. Just the opposite. He feels completely tzibrachim. He feels like a failure. He feels terribly weak. And he's just doing his best to cut away the past and to move forward. Anytime you cut something, as Rav Kook speaks about in Aris HaTshuva many places, it hurts. So this stage of tshuva is extremely painful. It's very hard to cut away things from your past. There might even be some people in your life, that some friends that you shouldn't be hanging out with anymore. You might have to cut away even, you know, some people that you've been close to for years, or some different behaviors that you've gotten very accustomed to, and so on. You might have to, like the Rambam says, you might have to leave your neighborhood and go someplace else. Who knows what? It hurts. Cutting away the past, megas gaias, hurts. It hurts. It's surgery, and it hurts. But it's something which is necessary in order to give birth to something else. And that's called hafaras haneder, annulling the past, and moving forward, b'kan l'haba, with something new. You still are ashamed. You still are living with guilt and with remorse. And naturally that weakens a person. Those feelings are not feelings that strengthen a person, they weaken a person. Then Rav Kook says, we move higher. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of tshuva, is ima, is the parts of ima, which is bina. Then we move to the next shlav. The next shlav is called chachma. Chachma, abba, is Chacham Matir. Now we're talking about Chacham Matir, the Madrega of Chacham, because now we're in the world of Chachma, and when it comes to a neder, a Chacham, Chachma, can be Matir a neder. We're moving higher than Hafaras a neder, which is Megas Gais, which is cutting off, which is a lot of pain and weakness and remorse and so on, and we're ascending to a world that's called Chochamati, Hataris, Aneder. Chochamati. In that Mitzvah of Chochamati, remember that with Hataris and there, that Neder, we're talking about Me'aker. Okay, you're being Oiker. You're uprooting. You're uprooting you're uprooting the Avera from its outset, from the beginning. And that's what Rav Kook wrote. At this stage of tshuva, he now looks at things in a different way. Whereas when he's in Bina, he's acquitted of his sin. In other words, Hashem says to him, listen, you failed miserably. You're a character, and you have failed miserably. But because of your tshuva, and your mother's interceding, which means his bonus, because of that, you are acquitted. You're acquitted. In other words, you're not going to be punished, you're off the hook. Which is gewaldig. However, at that stage of acquittal, the person still is living filled with darkness and regret and remorse. Because at best what took place was mochalach, mochalach, mechila. Mechila, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tov, I forgive you. Mochalach, I forgive you. You can go on with your life. I forgive you. You have another year. Go right there. Be better. Stick to your commitments. Mochalach. But in the Or of Chachma, now we're ascending to a higher level of Or of Chachma. Now we're talking about HaTorah Sachachem. And in this shlav, the person begins to realize, he begins to understand that everything that he went through earlier in his life and the mistakes that he made in his life, even though at the time there were intentional sins, in truth, there were misunderstandings and mistakes, and it was all part of an unbelievable Hashgacha Pratis to bring me to who I am now. But why is it that I went? Why is it that I went and I fell to such a place? And why is it that I met that person, I started with this, and I went to there and I did this? And now the person begins to see that all of this is an unbelievable Hashgacha Pratis, and that it's true that there were mistakes that I made, but these were mistakes. Even though I, at the time, I felt that I was doing these things intentionally, now it begins to dawn upon me that I no longer have to be filled with regret and remorse. Now, in the light of Chachma, this is all Hashgacha Pratis, V'chedvas, Rav Kook writes, V'chedvas Hashem mofiyah bo. Now the joy of Hashem begins to appear in his life. He begins to feel how all along Hashem was carrying him, all along Hashem was bringing through him through strange places. Yes, there were failures along the way, but now he understands that all of this was part of Hashem's remarkable plan for what he had to go through in life to bring him to the place that he is now. And therefore, in this place where he is now, he no longer feels this ache, of course, says. He doesn't feel the pain anymore of regret, the embarrassment, the humiliation that of what took place in the past. In this stage of Chochmah, he has the Chochmah to see HaToiv HaTzofon, the hidden good, and everything that he went through, the way that he was raised, even though he might have had difficult parents, and as a result of that, there were things that he did, and he had all kinds of situations in school, and in life, and with this girlfriend, and with that thing, with this, whatever it was. He now looks at this with the Or Chochmah, and he realizes that it really wasn't a sin, it was a mistake, and it was a guided, some sort of Hashgacha Pratis that guided me through all of this. It wasn't that I was evil, B'shas Ma'isa, I'm not evil, I was never evil. I was mistaken, but I was on a journey with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bringing me to where I had to go through. In order for me to be the person I am now, I had to go through certain things in my life. So he was able to feel already a joy, a simcha, Chedvas Hashem Mofiyah. That's called Chacham Matir. That's called Hataras HaNeder. But now we go to the Or HaKesar HaKloli. Or HaKesar HaKloli. Or HaKesar HaKloli. And Rav Kook writes about this, Madrega of Tshuva, Or HaKesar HaKloli, She'ein Shum Giron V'chosh HaKlal. It's the secret gaze that produces all delight and pleasure. Everything in this holy is contained in its holy treasury. There's no regret. There is no deficiency in darkness. So what is this? Or HaKesar HaKloli. So I mentioned earlier that the parasha in the Nedarim, Nazir in the Nedarim, Isha Isha Ki Yafli Lindo Neder. I mentioned the words Ki Pole, I made a mistake. It's Ki Yafli Lindo Neder. Ki Yafli. But it's a lashon of Pele. Ki Yafli Lindo Neder. And all this time I'm talking about this, what is this lashon of Yafli? Which means a Pele, which means something that's wondrous. So the fact that it says, not just that it says, but the whole gether of a nether is ish ki yafli lindor, means that we're talking about the highest madrega, that which is unknowable to a human being. It's called Pele Elyon. Pele is the same letters as Aleph, and the Ramak and all this one talk about this, about this, you might have other places, that when we make a bracha, when we come out from the bathroom, we've spoken about this many, many, many times. It's brought down to Torah Shulchan Aruch. So we make a bracha, mafli lasos. Right? And the Ramah, what does it mean, mafli lasos? What's the Pella? That there can be two opposites that somehow are able to coexist. What are the two opposites? The body and the soul. Which there's no place that's clearer than you're in the, a person's in the Beis HaKisei, in the bathroom, something which is very low and base, the most physical thing in our lives. The ugliest, most coarse physical thing in life is the bathroom. And that Hashem put the neshama into such a goof. That was that the neshama and the goof have such an union together. That is called mafli lasa. This is pella. A pella. So like we spoke of many times, the letter aleph has a vav and a higher yud and a lower yud. And the vav is the luchos. And the yud and the yud is the higher world and the lower world, shemayim and aretz. Or the neshama and the guf, even in the shape of the aleph. And here, regarding this reality of Pella Elyon, of Keser, or what we used in talking about Rosh Hashanah, Arach Anpin, it's all the same. Arach Anpin, Pella Elyon. So here Rav Kook says, Bemes lo hoya lo hoy v'lo yiyah. Kim or Hashem etuvah. There never was anything, ever. There never was, there never is, there isn't now, there never will be anything except Hashem's light, Hashem's goodness. And in that unknowable reality of the Keser, there's what is called Ichud HaHafachim. There's all opposites can be together. Good and evil. Ad L'yoda, and Arham L'Baruch Mordechai. That's why Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim and Purim Yom Kippur. It's all V'nahafeichu. And if you think about it, Yom Kippur is all about V'nahafeichu. So you have a Seir L'Hashem and a Seir L'Azazel. Right, the highest thing in the world and the lowest thing. This is brought into Beis Hamikdash, is the biggest carbon of the year, and this one is thrown off the Seir L'Azazel. Then the coin is wearing the coin called Big Day Lovin and Big Day Zav. Big Day Zav represents everything that's coarse, everything that's Gashmis in this world is gold. And he's switching back and forth. He can't keep up with them. The Big Day Lovin and the Big Day Zav. And he switches to the white garments, which is Shemayim, which is the holiest, which is Kodesh Kadosh. Right? Erev Yom Kippur. There's no other day of the year. It's a mitzvah to eat. It's a mitzvah. So everybody's burying themselves in the physical world, which is Erev Yom Kippur. And then the next thing you know, he's standing with a talus at night over your head, and he's saying Tzila Zaka and Kol Nidre. So you're going from one extreme to the other extreme. The whole day is a day of opposites, and it ends with the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokim, Zrachman, Din. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Achad. It's all one. And then you scream out seven times Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, which means the bathroom is God. Food, not eating and eating, gold and white, sin and holiness. It's something we can't understand. We can't explain at all. That's the whole inyan of Yom Kippur. When we come to this madrega of, we're beyond the world of Ima, which is the mother, that madrega of tshuva, of hafaras and neder. We've ascended to the higher madrega of Chachma, which is Abba, who's Mati the Nedim Ikara, as we just spoke about. And now we come to a place that's Kulay Toy, where it's not just that the past helped me to become who I am. Here we're talking about the mystery of Zidonis Nasla Kazachis, that my Averis are mitzvahs. My past Averis. It's not that they didn't happen. It's not that they never happened. Or that they helped me, so they were never really evil. They were mistakes that helped me to become a better person over the course of my life. That's Chachma. It was the Averis, but our mitzvahs. It was the Zidonis Nasla Kazachias. Zidonis Nasla Kazachias. Everything was Taif. Keser Elyon is Pella. There was never any mazer to begin with. Everything all along was Hashem did it. You never did any aver in your life. Everything you did wasn't you. It was Hashem did. And everything was like this. What I'm talking about, especially this was Svarim, which are very confusing for people not used to any of this. And everything is Toif. It's all a lukus. It's all a lukus. Now, if you think this way when you're doing averis, you're not Pikaris. You understand? You're not Pikaris. You're Shaitz. But when you go, when you climb the ladder of Ima, you make yourself, you kill yourself a tshuva. And then you come to the joy of Abba, Chachma, and you're mat to the nether. And Hashem has a way of lifting us up to the to that madrega, which is called Pele Elyon. Now here is where we come to the nether of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I'm going to try to do this in 5-10 minutes. They announce Ma'ariv for 9 o'clock, yeah?
No.
Yeah, I'll try.
We didn't put a time on it.
Pele Elyon, there's no time.
We didn't put a time on it.
And Arachanthan, it's long. No, I'll try. So, now we talk about Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre. Oh. It's a very big term. Kol Nidre. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai stood up, and now we see him not as pleading, but shaking his fist. Rabbi Shimon, the master of the secrets of Torah. And there was a bas kol that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana heard. Why Rabbi Bar Bar Chana? That's not for now. It's a big inyan. The Goyen explains, well, Cook has a whole what happened over there. It's not for now. But there was a bas kol that came out. Rabbi Chanina walked away from it. He said, oh, I'm getting out of here. He walked away. Rabbi Bar Chana, so walked away from it. And Rabbi Shimon heard something else. So the bas kol said, Umi Mefer. As a rhetorical question, that's how Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said, who would like dare, like it sounds like in the pasuk, who would dare? God makes a plan, God swears, who would dare to annul such a thing? Who would dare to uproot such a nether? Come Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai stands up and he says, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, b'mchilas kvaitcha, you misunderstood. And the Chacham said, that's why it was a foolishness. Hashem wasn't saying, who could possibly do this? Hashem was saying to you, that there's a madrega of tshuva that's called me, and me mefa, that bina can be made for the nether of golos. I'll explain in a second. HaKadosh Baruch was ready magala, that there's a way for me to bring geula, and I left it in your hands. I left it for you to be made for your nedarim, to be matter, your nedarim, your aveis with tshuva. And ain gula, the gula can only take place through your tshuva. So what's happening is Rabbi Shimon says the following: Im hi b'shvua hari abba v'ima shem chachmo v'nichem lasas hatar. V'zeh shekosuv Hashem svakos yatz umi yafir. Im atalmud nishba harav yochel lasas hatar. In other words, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that there's a level of tshuva that we could all do, and our releasing ourselves from our aveiros and ascending the ladder of tshuva from bina, from ima to chokhma to abba, that we can do that ourselves. And when we do that, then we're able to release ourselves to annul our commitments to aveiros and to release ourselves and to ascend this ladder of tshuva. So then we understand that umi yafer is not a question that Hashem says, who dares to? Who would dare to annul? Who can annul my vow? Hashem is saying a statement. Begin with bina. Umi yafer. Mi yafer means Hashem is saying to everybody, this is what Rabbi Shimon explains, begin to think about your life, to analyze your life. Mi is mem yud. Mi means 50. It means the 50 gates of bina. It means stop continuing on mindlessly and recklessly with your life. Start to analyze your life. Tit bonen, bitavin. Start thinking. Stop what you're doing. Megas gayas. Stop it. Think about what you're doing. Umi mefer. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai heard that in the bas kol. He heard, he understood this, that there's this sphere of bina, and that bina has the ability, since Ein Yisrael Negol Ne'el V'Tshuva, that's the Gemara Sanhedrin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it tonight, that the Shechina is stuck in Golos as long as you and I don't want to leave. And I'm not just talking about going back to Eretz Yisrael. That we don't want to leave the Golos, our Golos in darkness and in filth. Hashem made it tonight that Ein Yisrael Negol Ne'el V'Tshuva. That's a machlokes, but Hashem made such a tonight. And each person is called upon by that bas kol to begin the process. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, "Mi meifer, begin to annul your vow to ra, to evil, to gullus, to ugliness. Begin with the tahalich of bina. Start at least to begin by cutting away what's wrong with your life, and that requires serious hezbonos, serious charata, regret, a sincere vidui, a sincere kabbalah lahaba, to try to be old-fashioned tshuva." That's called megas guys. That's called hafaras haneder of your entanglement in evil. Begin. When you begin to redeem yourself, you are turning the wheels of redemption above. That's the only way it happens. That's what you can begin. Now that hurts. That hurts. It's hard. Charot, as we learned, umi yafir is hard. But begin. And when you begin to redeem yourself, when you begin to think about your life and to analyze and to change, and you give birth to something different this coming year, you're doing the best you can to annul me of my vow on the level of ima, to annul the vow of Golus. You're doing the best you can to bring that about. And kivyachol, Hashem is redeemed, as it says in Pasuk, shuvu elai, return to me, v'ashuva aleichem. You do tshuva, Hashem says, you start, and I will return to you. You return to me, and I will return to you. Now we say, we don't have, Kekedem, we're talking about Arachant, and we're asking Hashem to help us to climb this ladder. Kekedem means Arachant. We're asking Hashem to help. But Hashem says to us, shuva elai, v'ashuva aleichem. So when we are releasing ourselves from our aveiros and climbing that ladder, then we are kivyochol removing the chains of the self-imposed chains of golus that Hashem has put himself into, which is the shua of the baskol of imtayum tarus ahava ad shetechbas. Hashem's gula kivyochol depends on each and every one of us and our own personal gula. Now let's finish. Right? So Rabbi Shimon said, if this nether comes from such a deep place, in other words, if Hashem's having bound himself to Golas is something which is so deep, it's something which our regular tshuva of Abba, V'ima and Abba is not able to repair. Change. So Rabbi Shimon says, Ani El Elze, I will teach Am Yisrael. That's all the Zohar Kodesh. And Rabbi Shimon Yochai, and the Ariya Kodesh, and the Bashan Tavu Kodesh. And I will teach away, Ani El Elze, Shenema Boy, Ki Yipali Mimcha, Dover, Shenema Boy, Bemuflo Mimcha, Al Tidrash. Now listen carefully. Now he did say the words Ki Yipali, that's not possible. And the Gemara says in Chagiga, Ki yipol mechadom is the things that are beyond human understanding. Ki yipol mechadom. Now remember, the whole parasha on the Dvarim is ki yafna. So there's something that's beyond human understanding. It says ki yipol mechadom, which of course in the Torah is talking about when there's certain halachas that we can't know, that the local bezna can't handle, so they go up to the Sanhedrin. Ki yipol mechadom ben dam l'dam ben iludin. Ki yipol mechadom. There are things that are too wondrous for us to understand. But the Gemara in the Dvarim says on this, v'muflo mimcha al tidrosh. The simple meaning of that is that there are things that are beyond you. Al tidrosh. Don't seek to understand them. Don't seek them out. There are things that are beyond you. Azov etzeh. Don't handle the things that are beyond you. But that's not how Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai understood it. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, listen to this. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that it means on a deep level, there are things that are beyond you that are called al. Al means the world of Ayin. Al means something which is beyond you. He says, Tidrosh, seek it out. Daven for it, beg for it, cry out for it. Ki yipolim emcher, that this pele elyon, Al, now one of the words for keser is also ayin, nothingness, because it's something we can't understand. So Rabbi Shimon is saying that al is the same as ayin, means nothingness. It means lo. It means the world of ayin. It means that which is keser. It means something which is beyond human comprehension. And that's all that Rav Kook is describing here, this light in which everything was always Hashem. You never even did the Aveira. The Aveira was a mitzvah that you did. What do you mean it's a mitzvah? How can it be a mitzvah? I know that when I was doing it, I intended to do the Aveira. I said, L'shem Yichud, I did the Aveira. I did this Aveira with all my heart. I did this Aveira with L'chachis Mamishas. And here in this Madrega of Pele Elyon, Hashem is laughing. He says, nah, you know, the way you did that, that was a big mitzvah. I can say, I have it on my phone. My Aveira is on my phone. I can show it to you. And you take out your phone, you show Hashem, and you have you like a malach doing all kinds of mitzvahs and everything. And that, you know, Rav Kook calls that Torah Klali. So here's where the gula of the Shechina takes place. V'shav Hashem Elokecha es Shvuscha. That's the secret. V'shav Hashem Elokecha es Shvuscha. If you return to me, then v'shav Hashem, I will return to you. If you leave your goals, begin with Bina. I'm not asking you to. You can't jump into Keser. You got to work your way through. And I will show you along the way that you have ascended from one world to the next. And I promise you that when you get to that place that's called Keser Elyon, then all your Averis, you will know and feel that all of your Averis are now Mitzvahs. And you will be in that world that Rav Kook is describing. And all even Lagun is missing from its essence, from its very outset. For truth, there never was, is not, and never will be anything besides the light of Hashem and His goodness, which we can't understand at all. That's a Freilichen Purim. A Freilichen Purim. Ad lo yodah ben arham lo baruch Mordechai, Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, ben hafechu. Haman, arham lo baruch Mordechai, which means, ben hafechu, it was baruch, baruch haman, baruch. So the Rosh Hashanah says over here, b'muflum mecha al tidresh. You can't understand this in your limited, finite human minds. You can't possibly understand this, and I'm not going to explain this to you. Not what happened in Auschwitz and Treblinka. Not what happened last week when some nice Jew had his throat slit by a Yishmaeli soicher or something. You can't understand. Al tidrash, but I'm telling you, that there is such a world. That everything that's ever happened in that, from in that perspective, in that light of Aruch Anpin, of the Keser Elyon, of Alma Delodis Yada, of that unknowable essence of who I am, everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be. And you never, ever, ever did anything wrong in your entire life. All you ever did was my will. Everything was my will. Going back to Adam and the Eitz Hadas, everything was my will. And if you try to do that and play games with that, you're in big trouble. But that's the Metzius. And it's only a certain aura that Hashem Baruch reveals to those who have come there. And the Zohar Kaddish learns the Pasuk, Hashem HaYeshua Al Amcha Bechasecha Sela. Hashem's Yeshua depends on Amcha. Hashem HaYeshua Al Amcha Bechasecha Sela. That when we work on bringing Yeshua to ourselves, that the greatest pleasure and joy that Hashem can have is to reveal that unknowable essence, that unknowable self, in light of which we'll see that everything was always good. All those things that were so disgusting and dark and ugly, and all those things were good. Now this is, and when you hear such a Torah, so you could, right away there are at least seven or eight of you thinking, yeah, what about Amalek? what about Hitler and Akshamai? What about that? That's also good. So regarding these questions, Moshe Rabbeinu was already told, shtok. Be quiet. The muflum cha al tidrash. You just try to be good. Your business is try to be good. But I'm telling you, Hashem says, when you're coming into Yom Kippur, I'm telling you, you say a strong kol nidre. You try to release yourself from your vows. You try to annul your mistakes, cut them off. You try to release yourself and bring yourself to a place of believing Hashem's Hashgaha Pratis in every step of your life. And I will make it known to you in a way that you can't understand. That everything is good. Everything always was and is and will be good. And the time will come that we'll be able to see the eyes of the Blessed Amitas Amen. 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 Amen.